Let's turn in our Bibles today to Psalms chapter 91. I'm going to talk about dwelling with God, dwelling in a relationship with God. You say, well, do we really dwell with God? His Holy Spirit dwells in us. I'll tell you, literally, one day we will dwell with Him. And so we're thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Psalms 91 is a wonderful psalm. It's been quoted by soldiers on the battlefield. It's been quoted by more people than soldiers. It's been quoted by everybody at many times. And so it's a wonderful psalm of praise and worship and about the abiding presence of God. And so His presence is what we need. Glory to God. And it's always bothered me a little bit when people told me, said, I'm not going to be at church, but I'll be there in spirit. Anyway, God is here in spirit, but literally by His Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. But Psalms 91, let's look at what it says. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome or perilous pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Verse 7. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call, listen to this promise. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show unto him my salvation. Praise God. Father, we pray, God, for the blessing of the ministry of the word today. And I pray, God, you'd encourage the heart and the life and minister to the needs that are present here. And you know every need, God. And we ask, Lord, these things in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Dwelling with God must be an awesome thing. There's few people that dwelt with God in the sense that Moses did. And God said in one place, I speak to the prophets through dreams and visions, but to Moses I speak face to face as a man speaks with his friend. That's powerful. Amen. But God has always made it where we can have and will always make it where we can have a dwelling relationship with Him. Praise the Lord. We can dwell with Him. Praise the Lord. And you say, well, some people seem to hear from God every 5 minutes. Yeah, I've been around those kind too. God told me to tell you this, and let me tell you something. God can tell me as easy as He can tell you. Praise the Lord. But God dwells in perfect holiness. There's no sin in heaven. God dwells in perfect sinlessness and in perfect love and perfect righteousness and perfect justice. Yet He has chosen to dwell with His people. And that's a long step that He took from heaven to come among us, to become Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus came to take up residence in your heart. And this happened or begins when we're born again of God's Spirit. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said so much about the Holy Spirit before He went back to the Father. He told the disciples, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Amen. In you. Shall be in you. Amen. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, or I will not leave you like orphans. I will come to you. Amen. And so we know we can have a dwelling relationship with God. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's to abide with us forever. And he will abide in this earth forever. Praise God. Even in the tribulation period, there will be people saved during the tribulation period, because there can't be anybody saved without the work of the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin and righteousness and of judgment, and they can't come to God except the Holy Spirit draws them, and there will be people saved during the tribulation. I intend to be gone, to be out of here, and be in heaven with the Lord, but there will be people saved during that time. Praise the Lord. So dwelling with God, let's look first of all at dwelling in God's presence. The scripture, verse 1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word here, dwelling, or abiding, comes from a Hebrew word. I'll do my best to say it. You won't know whether I pronounce it right or not in Hebrew. Yashab. Y-A-S-H-A-B. Kevin probably knows if I said it right or not. But anyway. But it has the meaning, means to sit down, to settle, in the sense of taking up homestead or staking out a claim. So if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we're staking out a claim that we're going to make this a long stay, a forever stay. Praise the Lord. And when God judged David for taking a census on Israel, one of the two things that we have that God did, David did wrong. I'm sure he did many things wrong, but he's like all of us. He was human. But he decided to take a census of Israel, and even his commander-in-chief, Joab, said it's not a good idea. But anyway, he went out and did it anyway. And what was the sin of David taking a census of Israel? Well, it was probably because that he might boast in his armies and his numbers of people. And therefore, God chose to judge him for that sin. God didn't abandon him, but he chose to judge him for that sin. And the prophet Gad came to him and said, you know, God's going to give you three choices of what I'm going to do to you to punish you for this sin. Man. And he said, I'll give you, you'll have a certain amount of time that you'll have wars with your enemies. And or I'll send pestilence that'll kill people across the land of Israel. Or he said, I'll just deal with you personally. Amen. And David said to Gad, he said, I am in deep distress. And he said, this other stuff, let it go. But he said, I can't let us fall into the hands of God. For his mercy is great, but do not let me to fall into the hands of man. Do not let pestilence, don't let war come upon me. Just, Lord, I'll just take whatever you give me. Let me fall into the hands of God. How could he do that? Because he had a dwelling presence of God in his life. David did. The Bible says when David was anointed king as a child, the Holy Spirit was with him from that day forward. And so he knew what it was to abide in God's presence. And you and I should also lay claim to a dwelling place with God. You know, God sent the Holy Spirit so we could be indwelt by him. The Holy Spirit is not something you get. The Holy Spirit is God, third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit indwells a believer, and it means that we can have a relationship with God. We can talk with God. We can communicate with God. God can talk to us through the scriptures, usually the way he does it. He may talk to you through an impression in your heart. He may speak a scripture to your heart, and that's God's word for you for that time. There's many ways that God can make himself known to you. He's not limited to certain ways, but he does talk to us. And as we pray, we fellowship with God. We tell him our problems, our cares, whatever we need. And also we make it into a time of not just asking God for stuff, but we make it in a time of worshiping him for who he is. And he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And there's over 14 Jehovah names that tell the character of who God is throughout Scripture. There are many places that God reveals himself in powerful ways. He's known as Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there, and he is present. He's powerful. It's God making you know that I am present. I am with you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. There's a Jehovah Shalom, means that God is peace. And the only peace there is and can be had is with a relationship with him. And I want to tell you, God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He cares for you. He loves you like no other human being can love you. Hallelujah. And so, if we sit down, dwell, settle in the sense of taking up a residence, or staking out a claim, we should lay in claim to a dwelling place with God. Amen. For we are to abide in God. And promises are given are enormous here in this scripture, in this passage. Verses 9 through 13 tells us how to abide with God, or how he abides with us. Let's notice what they say, verse 9 of our reading. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, because of this, you've laid claim to dwelling with God. It says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. You say, well, Pastor, as a Christian, I've had things happen to me that weren't good. I have too. But God has never been absent. No evil shall befall you. God's not going to allow anything to take your soul, your salvation. Amen. As long as you make the choice to walk with him and live for him. Nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. And I believe that we need to, there's more than just natural plagues and diseases and sicknesses. There are spiritual plagues too. And it says, he shall give his angels charge over you. He's not advocating worship of angels, but God does use angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? You know, Hebrews 1, last verse. And to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Amen. God gives great promises here. Praise the Lord. To dwell or to abide in God, dwell in God. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we're under the protecting shadow of the Most High. Like a mother hen shields her chicks under her wings when there's danger around. And like all animals and humans, most of the time humans, have some natural instinct to protect their young from danger. And as a kid, and my father was a farmer, and we raised peanuts and watermelons and cantaloupes and whatever else you could think of. And we would go out and hoe the weeds out of the peanut rows. And there was a bird there called a killdee. And they built their nest on the ground, and they were a beautiful bird. But if you got too close to their nest, the mama would put out her wing and act like she was hurt, wanting you to follow her. What she was doing was leading you away from her young and her nest, because she was protecting her babies. Amen. And so I don't know if you can compare God exactly to that. You can't. He's not a bird. But God does protect and keep us. And under the shadow of his wings, there is protection. My friend, it pays to dwell in God's presence. Because when you do, he's your protector. He's your keeper. He's your life giver. He's the one that's going to come against the enemy. He's the one that's going to give you victory so that you won't be sad and sour and cynical all the time, but you'll have victory in the name of Jesus. You're a child of the living God. Hallelujah. And today we must have God's protection from all attempts of the enemies to destroy home, family, and faith. Don't try to tell me the home and the family and faith is not under attack in our country. It is. But God will protect us. And you know, there's something else. There are predators out there, spiritual predators out there. And today we must be spiritually alert for those. And it breaks my heart, but there are sexual predators upon children, not just children, adults, all humanity. There's human trafficking everywhere. We support Brandi Wilson because she's called to that, to places where Sex trafficking is legal. In some places of the world, it is legal. I can't imagine anything being legal about that. And where people will be able to be saved and pulled out of that. Not only are there those kind of predators, but there are financial predators. You know that by the phone calls you get all the time. You don't know who it is. Don't know where they came from. They may be from the United States. They may be from France. They may be from China. I don't know. I'm not here to be political. Not right now. But there are predators, financial predators. There's predators in all dealings of business and humanity. But if we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, we're covered by the shadow of the Almighty. We're under His wing. Praise the Lord. And so, dwelling in God's presence is so important. But when we dwell in the presence of God, faith comes as we dwell with God. The certainty, the assurance put on the inside of your heart that things are going to be taken care of, whether you can see it or not. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Verse 2 of our text. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, Him will I trust. And God is our fortress, it means He is our hiding place. A fortress is a place of protection. A fortress is a place of security and trust. In the natural, we put locks on our doors sometimes. Or we may have a firearm to protect us, regardless of what the government wants to do, to protect us. We have guard dogs to watch sometimes. I don't have one. Don't have one now. To warn of strangers. Okay, I hadn't told a Jake story in a while, so I won't tell one. I had a dog named Jake. I liked Jake, but Jake was bigger, wasn't as big as what he thought he was. And I tell you what, anything, anybody or anything, animal of any kind came near the door, he was going to go at him at a dead run. I don't care what you weighed, if you were in a car with 14 people, he's going to chase the car even though he couldn't catch it. One day he caught a county shredder, and the shredder won. Oh, I shouldn't have told that part, shouldn't I? But anyway, one day I was watching Jake, and a wild hog came in the yard, and I mean, Jake took the guy off after him at a dead run. The hog was bigger than Jake. And so they went out through into the woods, and I didn't see him for a minute. And in a while, Jake came into the yard, and the hog was chasing him into the yard. That didn't work out too good for Jake. But you see that God protects us and God doesn't run. And when God puts an enemy on flight, nothing's going to chase God. Nothing is too big for too hard for God. But it says here in the scriptures in verse 3, it says, God is able to deliver us from the snare of the fowler. And so we know that God delivers us. Surely He should deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Verse 3. And a fowler was a person who trapped birds. And it was a trap that was set on the ground that when a bird would run over the trap would spring up and catch the bird. And so they couldn't just fly away from danger. And here it's interesting that God says He shall keep you from the snare of the fowler. And so, there are snares today, spiritual snares, and we're warned of Scripture to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist him steadfast in the faith. And so we're warned in Scripture that there are snares there, there are enemy snares, there are spiritual snares there. Amen. And we can put our faith in God, and we can trust God. In Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to come to Him. For he who comes to God must diligently seek Him. I didn't quote all of that. Forgot part of it. Might go to the Alzheimer's thing here we've announced. No, hopefully I'm not there. But you know, there's so many traps that the enemy sets out there to get people, to grab people where they can't fly away like the bird in a trap. And I'm told that in Wood County there are so many people who are captive to the meth trap, that are hooked on meth, that can't get free. And it causes many things. It causes your teeth to rot out of your head. It'll make you do ungodly and unholy things to your relatives and your friend. It'll cause you to steal stuff so you'll have enough money to buy another hit of meth. And many people are trapped mentally. They can't forgive or they can't love or can't treat brothers and sisters in Christ like family. It gets into the church. Something that happened years ago or something that happened a while ago or something that happened or disagreements or arguments you had a certain person or the brother and sister in Christ and you can't forgive, I want to tell you, you're trapped. But you need God's forgiveness and you need God's deliverance. And God will forgive you and help you to forgive people you didn't think you could forgive. And God forgave us of things that He didn't have to forgive us of. Amen. And God has saved so many people and set so many people free. And God can work in your life and God can help you. My friend, He is a God who brings deliverance. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. On His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Because there are spiritual enemies out there. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies." So there's spiritual warfare that we can't see into. We're blessed that we can't, probably. That we can't see what goes on in the spiritual world, which is right next to us, right here. It's just that God has not allowed us to see into it. But there are a spiritual host of wickedness, high places, heavenly places that we cannot see. And Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, not what we can see. But they're mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. Okay? There are spiritual things. Some battles can never be won except through prayer. And faithful commitment to God and saying, God, I'm holding on to you. I'm telling you, I need your help. And I need you to pull down this stronghold in my life. And God can help you. Maybe something that you cannot see, but it may be a work of demonic things trying to take you in and trying to take hold of your life and trying to bring you, cause the trap to spring up and catch you where you can't get away. You say, does it happen to Christians? Oh, yes. They need help. They need deliverance sometimes. You say, well, I thought God delivered us when He saved us. He did. He delivered you from sin and from the penalty of sin. But there are other things that the enemy wants to put in your way to trap you so you won't be effective for the kingdom of God. Amen. You ever met somebody that just seemed to be discouraged all the time? Whine and gripe and complain about everything? Amen. And just continually, something wrong every time, everywhere. And they couldn't see good in anything. You know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all that kind of thing, you know. There are people like that. And that works on you. And the devil wants you to become just like that. But God is mighty for pulling down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments, imaginations, the old King James. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity. This is hard. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God, we need God to get a hold of our thought life. Bring into captivity. God, I need you to just take this thought out of my mind. I mean, when you want to get even with somebody and you want to, you know, go around that car that just cut in front of you, amen, and you want to just, you know, show them how it is, you may waste a half a gallon of gas and cost you $2, you know, but I want to get around them. Bless the Lord, I know this is the will of God. Man, my pastor, bless his heart, he's going on to be with the Lord now, but he was one of the first people in our community that we knew of to get a Volkswagen. That's when they were small. And him and my daddy were in Fort Worth for whatever reason, and he was going to parallel park his Volkswagen. Well, there was a car that had pulled up and just put on the backup lights, was fixing to take that place. My pastor just ran in there behind him and took the parking place. Say, was he that kind of a pastor? No. He just was that day. But it's hard to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But I am certain that the devil works on our mind as much as he works on anything. The Bible says a carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, nor there indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, you're so be the Spirit of God dwells in you, and God's Spirit does dwell in you, so there's a Holy Spirit there to convict us when we think things or we begin to imagine things that are against the will of God, and God begins to knock on our heart's door and say, hey, you need to get rid of that thought. You need to quit thinking or concentrating on that thing. It's bad for you. It's not good for you. I'm dwelling with you, and I'm not pleased with that. The Holy Spirit's saying that to you, and I praise the Lord. And so we must believe. We must have faith in His Word. Surely He will deliver you. He shall cover you. Amen. We must not let fear control us, because the snare of fear will spring up to try to hold you captive. And the devil wants you to live in fear constantly. I've known people that have. But verse 5, let's notice in the Scripture, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. There's a lot of things there that God's saying not to be afraid of. And so fear will come in and wants to take a hold in your life, and the trap of fear springs up, wants to hold you captive, fear. But we must not let fear control us, because our God is almighty. He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's all-present. He lives within us. We're dwelling in the presence of God. We're dwelling with God. And so therefore, we will not let fear rule us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We may not be able to do anything within ourselves, everything that comes upon us, but we serve a God that can take care of everything. We serve a God that is experienced. He knows how to deal with mankind. He's been dealing with mankind ever since He created him. And we can trust Him because He knows what He's doing. Excuse me. Mama told me I was supposed to say excuse me, so I did. Okay. We dwell with God we can dwell with God. Verses 9 through 16 tells us there. I'm coming to an end here. I still got 3 minutes. And the word because is mentioned twice here, once in verse 9, once in verse 14. Said, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, because you've made the choice to dwell with God and God to dwell with you, no evil shall befall you. It doesn't say you won't be attacked with evil. It says it will not take charge of your life. It will not befall you. Nor shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. I want to tell you, God has eternal life in mind for all of us. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. God does use angels. We're forbidden to worship them in any way. Only God is to be worshipped. But they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And God does use ministering spirits. There's been times I know that I may have been protected by an angel, because angels can look like humans. In Scripture, we know that. I know most people are not angels. That's no revelation to you. You know what an angel is? That's somebody that's always up in the air harping about something. Anyway, there's more of them kind. But I believe that God has given His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. It even says that God will go places that nobody dares to go. He said you're going to tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion, the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. That's saying that God can help you walk through the impossible, things that you don't want to walk through, things that you never dreamed that you would have to deal with in your own personal life. God is not going to abandon you, because you're dwelling with God and God is dwelling with you. You've laid stake to a claim. You belong to Him. Amen. We've given our heart to Jesus. He's not against us. He's for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that did not spare His own Son, God did not spare, He spared nothing for you. He gave His only begotten Son because He loves you. And so you dwell with God. Verse 14, another because. This is the condition here. Because he has set his love upon me, because you put yourself there, because you have set your love upon God, therefore I will deliver you. I will set him on high because he is known of my name. Furthermore, in verse 15, he says, I'm going to answer your prayer. Might not always be when you want to and how you want to, but he'll answer. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Everybody can relate to that. I will deliver him and honor him. We like verse 16 the most. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That doesn't mean that you'll live to be 113. It means you'll live forever. Eternal life. Life here is temporary. When you receive Christ as your Savior and you're given the gift of eternal life, it's not temporary, it's eternal. Amen. You belong to Him. Dwell with God in the secret place of the Most High. Praise the Lord.